Hi, everyone. My name is Christina, and I am an alcoholic. I love this topic, faith in action. Awesome. And I'm so excited to be here. It is an honor and a privilege to do anything for Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's an honor and a privilege to take a seat here because before I got to you, I was never asked to do anything. So thank you. So, you know, as a child, looking out my window up into the night skies, I always knew my God loved me. I never questioned that. It was not a problem for me when I got here. However, when I started drinking, I knew that I had to pick and choose, and I was choosing drinking. So I had to put my God on the shelf. I shut him away, and so that was always what I did. When I was young, I always felt less than everybody I hear up here usually says that, and I'm no different. I felt less than and not pretty enough, not smart enough, and I was really uncomfortable in my own skin and awkward, and I didn't know how to interact with others. So I always felt like something was missing, maybe not broken about me, but missing. And so when I took my first drink, which was probably around 13, I fell in love. And what I did was, it was my sister and I and a friend, and we stole some beers and stuck them under the couch and some cigarettes. And I remember the cigarettes tasted horrible, but I loved the warm, disgusting taste of that beer. And it went down, and it warmed my whole body, and I loved it. I was hooked, and I loved the effect produced by that alcohol. You know, and from there I went into my mother's liquor cabinet, and I took a bottle of amaretto liqueur, and I proceeded to drink that, and I got very, very sick. And that's really how my drinking went from there on in. I got into a lot of trouble when I was young, but it was, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and I really didn't know that that I was getting into trouble, because everyone that I was hanging around with, they were getting into that trouble, you know. And I got into a lot of trouble, and it escalated. I went to college because my father wanted me to go to college where he was an alumni, and so we went, and And so he left me there, and I found home. It was Ohio University. It was a party school, and I got really involved, you know. And school was great, but I studied dance, and I ended up doing a lot of my studying as my craft in the bars. So I would dance in the bars, and I spent 2 years there, and I flunked out, and I ended up just making a lot of geographical cures. And so I'd move from place to place, and I would get into trouble, and I'd move again. And the long and the short of it was that I ended up in living in my car on the streets of Cleveland, and running around in restaurants in the morning and doing bird baths and trying to hide so nobody would see how I was living. And in the evenings, I'd end up at the bars. And I would find myself getting into more and more trouble. You know, drinking and driving was a common thing for me. Why I never had a DUI, I don't know. That would be my best guess, Grace. And So I found myself getting into a lot of trouble, and found myself doing dark things in dark places with dark people. And my drinking progressed very quickly. I ended up having two children, two beautiful children, and I actually loved being a mother. I found something that I really loved in those two children. But my drinking took over, and so I would try to always find ways to have other people take care of my kids so I could get to the drink. And I would have this battle going on. It was a constant battle that to get to the drink or to be a good mom. And I would always lose that battle to alcohol. And I would always end up leaving my kids with, if I couldn't get somebody that I knew that would care for them properly, I would end up, lowering that bar. Because what I always did was lower my bar. And I always raised the expectations of those around me. And so I had, ridiculous expectations of you and everyone else. And lowered my bar and always blamed you for my problems. And so my kids, I would leave them with people who were no better suited to take care of them than I was. And they would, I would find them in horrible situations. My five, 6 month old, he was just crawling, was pinned behind a couch for 5 hours. And the type of mother that I was when I got to you was this. I would come to around 2 in the afternoon, and my children would be still, if they hadn't learned how to get out of their cribs, they were still in their cribs with the heavy diapers hanging off their bodies with no clothes on. Or maybe they had taken off their heavy diapers and they were, thrown to the floor. They would have, they'd be hungry. They would be hungry at 2 in the afternoon, and they would want breakfast, and they would want their mommy. And I would be hungover and angry and sick, and I would be mad that they needed something from me when I didn't feel good. How could you be like this? And so selfish and self-centered. I was a liar, cheat, and a thief. And I was really good at manipulating. I had a lot of character defects. So that was the type of mother that I was when I came to you. I always had this fear. Fear drove everything that I thought, everything that I did, and it would drive my drinking. And it would actually drive, me and my crazy thinking early on in my sobriety until I was able to put the steps into my life. And in Bill's story, he talks about impending calamity. And I understood impending calamity because I was always afraid what was going to happen if the other shoe fell, what was around the corner, and if I had something good, I was going to lose that, and if something was bad, it was going to get worse. And so that's how I lived my life, And with my kids, I was always afraid that I would hurt them if I was drinking because I never knew, I couldn't predict what would happen. So So there was a series of events that that occurred at the end of my drinking, and it caused me to hit my knees and hit my bottom. And my last drunk was I was half passed out on a couch in some place, and my children's father found me, and he had my kids with me, and he dropped them on my back, and he said, "Get up and take care of your kids." And I'll never forget that. And I was half drunk still and hungover, and I took those kids and I put them in my car and I drove home. And I made the phone call to Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is what I'll say about that day. I mean, it changed my life in ways that I had no idea would change my life. I had no concept of what Alcoholics Anonymous really was, and the depth that it has changed my life. But, in the big book, woven beautifully in the 12 steps, it talks about, and I'm paraphrasing, he matches calamity with serenity. And I got that. I got that from you. It was early on in sobriety, and you were telling me things like, just put one foot in front of the other. First things first. Bring the body. The mind will follow. Just say yes to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I was just doing what you guys told me to do. Stand at the door. Shake hands. you know, just taking the action. And I didn't know what all that meant, cleaning up coffee cups and ashtrays. How is that going to help me? But I did it anyway because I didn't want to live that way anymore. That fear that drove me was torture. You know, I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to live in that fear, and I didn't want to live in that darkness. I certainly didn't want to go back and do the things that I was doing. So you know, you told me that if I had just a little tiny mustard seed size of faith, that I could get this deal, that I could get what you guys have. And I wanted that. Didn't really know what that meant, but I wanted that. And so I did what you suggested, and I started to just suit up and show up, stand at the door, clean up the coffee cups. Yes, I will do that. Yes, I'll take her to a meeting. And slowly but surely, things started to get a little better. I was still dealing with that fear and all my character defects, but I was starting to feel a little relief, and that was starting to feel really good. I was on my way to a conference with a bunch of young people. My sobriety date is June 19th, 1993. And I should tell you that I have a sponsor. Her name is Beth G., and she has 42 years of uninterrupted sobriety. And I have a grand sponsor, and her name is Pat D., and she has 50 years of uninterrupted sobriety. And they keep me grounded in the steps and the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am so grateful for that. So, but anyway, yeah, I am... So... I'm getting busy, and it just gives me enough time, you know, to hear that message of hope. You know, we all have that message of hope that we hear, and a light goes on. And I was in a car. We were driving up to Cook's Forest, and I was listening to this woman talk on cassette, which is dating me. And she was talking about feeling dirtier on the inside than she did on the outside. And I understood that feeling. And she talked about the steps and this program and the fellowship and how today she feels cleaner on the inside than she does on the outside. And I got my hope. I got my hope. That was my hook. And I wanted what you had. So I got busy. I got busy. I got busy in action. That little mustard seed of faith got me busy and gave me enough time to get this thing, and it's been, oh man, it's been a whirlwind. What a journey. So I started working the steps, and I got my sponsor, and I, you know, I'm going to meetings, and I have these two young boys, and they are, you know, they have their own set of needs, and so I'm raising them, and really, in all honesty, you are teaching me to do that. And I got to do that for my boys. And today, 22 years later, they're 23 and 25. Still with those special set of circumstances that they have. But they're doing wonderful. You know, and I am grateful for that because Alcoholics Anonymous gave me the ability to be the mother that I've always wanted to be. And I couldn't. Let's see. As things got better in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started really working on this new journey in my life, my relationships in my family got better. I was able to, you know, I didn't graduate high school like all my peers did, and I robbed my parents of the ability to watch their oldest daughter graduate, to walk across stage. And in 2012, very slowly throughout my whole sobriety, I worked on my undergraduate degree, and I was able to graduate and walk across stage with my mom and my dad and my husband watching me do that. And that's Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, I married my husband in Alcoholics Anonymous, and one of the things I love about him is his excitement and enthusiasm for AA. So we have an AA home, and I love what we have, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I have been showered with blessings and grace and Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can't thank you enough for that. You know, the women in Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to be a wife and a mother and a friend, which I didn't have when I got here. You know, all those bottoms that I had, and the bars that I would lower constantly when I was drinking. All those things that I found myself doing when my parents taught me good morals and values. You know, I was able to heal all those things and move on. And you know, there's just so much that my having the faith for me, for this alcoholic, this fearful alcoholic, to stand in front of you today and just take the action. You know, you might not know that, but it's a big deal up here, let me tell you. You know, it just getting busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, if you're new, or if you're not so new and you're not feeling it, you know, getting busy in Alcoholics Anonymous, bring the body, the mind will follow. Eventually, it's gonna happen. You know, that moment that turns everything around. Action for me is key. You know, getting busy in the steps and helping others and suiting up and showing up to a meeting to do something that I might not want to do. If I'm tired, or, you know, if I'm worried about something, and, you know, but I always feel better just going, showing up, being of service. So faith in action to me is just, you know, putting my best face on and trying to help someone else, you know, getting busy. I guess I want to thank you for being here. I'm so excited to be here at this conference. 80 years, you know, all these strangers come together from all over the world, and we're here and we can all sit down and have a conversation. And I feel like I know you and you know me. And I know if I walked across the street to any one of you and asked you if you could help me, I know that you would be there. I want to thank you. I want to thank Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Christina. I don't think I really introduced myself properly before. I said I'm done, I'm an alcoholic, but I also would like to say that my home group is the Happy Risers group, which meets in Ocean City, Maryland, 7 days a week. When you come visit the beach, come see us. I see some of my friends from some of the other groups in Ocean City here. And my sobriety date is June 21st, 1988. Our second speaker today, some of you might remember from the last international convention, because she was the delegate from the area that hosted us in San Antonio. Her home group is the Women's Big Group, Big Book Group in San Antonio, Texas. So I'll give you Char S.
Oh my gosh. My name is Char and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 14th, 1985, and I'm very, very grateful for my sobriety today. Well, thank you, Christina. I could probably just say ditto and be done with it. But I love to hear stories of women in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not quite as high-tech as Christina, so I did it the old-fashioned way. Truth is, now that I'm older, I can't quite see my cell phone that well, so here we go. I thought maybe my laptop would be a little conspicuous, so. All right. faith without works is dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life and sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would certainly drink again. And if he drank, he would certainly die. That's from our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, pages 14 and 15. And of course, this was Bill following his awakening at the hospital and reminiscing about Ebby's visit and how he himself might share his experience with others. Anytime the topic is about action, I immediately want to share about the service journey that I was blessed with. Even though faith had much to do with this service, I was pulled in a different direction today. You know, faith, in the beginning, faith meant to me my religion, and I had really screwed that up. So it took me a long time to understand spirituality and faith, and I learned that by the principles of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous that you gave me. So how did I get to this point of self-sacrifice? It was someone else's faith and self-sacrifice that got me here. It has always been the sharing of others' experience, strength, and hope that has given me the courage to trudge forward and take the action that I needed to take to make changes in my life. I see today that this is how God expresses himself with us, one alcoholic talking to another. I know there is a God because of the eternal hope that has been given to me many years ago. No matter what happens in my life today, I know that I'm going to be okay. Life did not always feel that way for me. The doom and gloom of alcoholism hung over me like a dark cloud, forever threatening some sort of disaster. I used to have this magnet on my refrigerator that said, "Relax and enjoy the crisis." Because back then, there always seemed to be one in my life. I also know there is a God today because I see him in you. And so thank you for your example of faith in action and for sharing that with me. In my early years in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was on my way to a meeting with a car full of women. All of us were newcomers, a dangerous group of women. But we had so much fun, and as far as I know, we're all still sober today. One of them was talking about a couple in our fellowship whose house had burned down that day. We get to the meeting, and here they are. I was in awe at seeing them after such a tragedy had just happened. I talked about that example for many years and learned that when the low spots in life happens, we just show up and reach out even more than before. I recently lost my husband. My home group met the day after his passing, and I knew that I had to be there. They had always heard me talk about showing up no matter what, and sure enough, they were there waiting for me. They had a card sitting at my seat. I have my own seat, you know. What we pass along in words, one alcoholic talking to another, is of utmost importance. But our actions make an even greater impact. And besides, we never know who might be watching. I was chairing a big book study meeting at a women's halfway house one evening when this lady came up to me after the meeting. She saw me visiting a detox center the year before. She happened to be a patient there at that time. She said she remembered thinking she wanted to be a lady like me one day. Can you imagine? I was no lady when I came to you. Sometimes I think the only right thing I do in Alcoholics Anonymous is to show up. Another time I met an old-timer, Helen M., in Las Vegas. We just happened to be there at the same time, and I agreed to meet for lunch. We got into this lengthy conversation about the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and all the experiences that we had had with the fellowship and how important it was. A little while later, I noticed this older gentleman sitting at the table next to us. He was struggling to get up with all his packages. I asked to help him, but he said, no, thank you, and then walked over to our table. He wanted to apologize for eavesdropping on our conversation. He said he had just lost his wife a couple of weeks before, and she was a member of our fellowship. He finished with, God bless you, and walked away. My mouth fell open. I remember looking at Helen, and she just sat there with a smile on her face. She knew. I have also seen the light come on in the eyes of many newcomers. It is a powerful gift to be shown the power of our God working in the lives of others. The first time I saw this, I was at a prison. My motive for carrying the message into prisons was not an honorable motive because I signed up to go with my husband. He was going to go every weekend, every month, and I just thought that would be a nice outing for us. You know, I don't know. God never seems to care about my motives. My first visit was at a men's maximum security prison in Texas, Wallace Pack 1. Actually, we had to go to 3 meetings when we got there, but we drove into the parking lot at that prison, and I got scared. I mean, I don't know what I thought I was doing, but I got scared. One of the guys that we came with kept reminding me that we were at an AA meeting, and I kept trying to keep that thought. We had to go to a trustees meeting. The first meeting was a trustees meeting, and there were about 40 guys there, and they called on me first because I was the only woman. And you know what? I got up and I introduced myself, and I said some dumb thing like trying to get one man to sit and listen to me for the last year, and there was 40 of you, and I'm so sorry, but I can't think of anything to say, and I sat down. And that poor trustee that was chairing the meeting, he says, Shar, if this meeting scares you, wait till the next one. And boy, he wasn't kidding. There was 500 men in that room, I swear. That's probably a little of an exaggeration, but everybody in that prison had to go to the Sunday morning speaker meeting, AA speaker meeting, so they were all there, AA or not. I shared my experience, Strength and Hope, and at the end of the meeting, I talked about wishing that I had the words to express what I felt in my heart about Alcoholics Anonymous. Then I took my seat at the visitor's table. One of the prisoners that was at the trustee meeting earlier came over, and it was a table like this, and he knelt down beside me. I was sitting on the end. And so I saw him, you know, eyeball to eyeball. And I was kind of afraid at first because he was this huge man. I mean, he must have worked out every day. But what he said to me changed my life. He said not to worry about expressing the words that were in my heart. God knew what they were. And that's when I saw it in his eyes. In spite of his situation, he was a free man. It was a great event for me. I felt transformed. I would have missed it had I not been willing to take action, right motive or not. Of course, by then I was on a real high. You know how we get when it's over. And the third meeting that we went to that day was some kind of counseling session, and they got to ask us questions. Well, the two guys that I was with had a different story than me, but what I saw happening is they were asking me all the questions. I'm so grateful for the experiences that I've gotten to have in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have this terrific fear of people when I came here, and without the actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't be standing before you today. It's amazing. I would have also missed the healing of many relationships in my life and the forming of new friendships that I treasure today. While we are on the topic of healing, I'd like to share one last experience, and that was the healing that took place in my religion. I had huge resentments in this area, and I wouldn't go, and I won't go into all the causes, but my sponsor had me pray about how I was to make an amends for my part. What I came up with was to share in confession all those things I had shared in my fifth step that I never shared at confession. How could I? I felt like my penance would be the facsimile of wearing a sackcloth for the rest of my life, because that's what I felt like I deserved. It was Easter time, and there were visiting priests at my church holding open confessions, which was a big deal for me. I mean, to go to a priest face-to-face and not in a dark confessional. I got to church, and I got in line. I picked the oldest priest there because I don't ever make it easy on God, sorry. Anyway, I shared all those things that I'd never shared in church before. When I finished, the priest sat back in his chair and he made some referral to the prodigal son. Then he said, "And now, young lady, for your penance, I want you to go, and when you leave the church today, I want you to remember every single day in your prayers to thank God for bringing you home." Well, I froze. I started laughing and crying at the same time. I couldn't get up. I couldn't even move for a couple of minutes. And today I often wonder about the people still waiting in that line if they went elsewhere after they witnessed my reaction. But you see, I don't know if that man knew the power his words had for me, but I truly believe God brought me home when he brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. If I hadn't taken that action on faith, I would have missed the presence of God. I have many of these examples that help to form and strengthen my faith. It is what gives me the courage to keep showing up. If it weren't for the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and my willing to take the action as outlined in the big book, this self-centered woman would never have been open enough to see the powerful action of a higher power working in my life and in the lives of others. I have discovered that the steps are not the answer. They are the steps for the alcoholic to the answer, which is a loving, caring, higher power that better directs my life. We have a Texas preamble that I recently came across again, given to us by one of our old-timers. And this is it in part. Repetition strengthens and confirms these habits, and then faith comes naturally. Kind of like Sesame Street, if you will. Same thing over and over again until there's no doubt left. Many great events have come to me in my new life, this moment being one of them, and I would have missed it. I never wanted a little of anything all my life. And I feel this way about Alcoholics Anonymous. I want all that AA has to offer me. Recently, my granddaughter and son were watching a video of me doing, I don't know, something. And my granddaughter says to her father, "Dad, how come Grandma Shar has a life and we don't?" What a nice way to be remembered. That I was a lady, and that because of the actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't afraid to live. Thank you for my sobriety.
Thank you, Shar. Shar mentioned at the beginning of her talk Ebby's visit to Bill, and Bill recalling it on page 14 of the big book, that Ebby had told him that faith without works was dead. And that quote from the King James Version is repeated again on page 76 of the book when it's introducing steps 8 and 9, faith without works is dead. And on page 88 when it's finishing up step 11, and bringing us to step 12. And that whole idea that to be vital, faith must be accompanied by unselfish, constructive action is something that just is repeated again and again in the book. And these speakers today are really great examples of putting that faith into action. And our third speaker hails from Ottawa in Ontario, capital of Canada. And his home group is the Beacon Hill Group in Ottawa. So I'd like to introduce Pete B.
I'm Pete. I'm an alcoholic. Wow, this is not like speaking on my home group. But anyhow, I'd like to tell you what it was like. I was born in and raised in a Catholic environment, and I had faith as a young boy. I was even an altar boy, and at age 14, something drastic happened. My dad passed away, and everything changed. And I got to discover alcohol at a very young age. And it made me feel very, very different. I was always felt different. I had red hair and freckle, and only my hairdresser knows for sure it's changed. And I lost all that red hair, but the red hair was synonymous to a comedian and a clown, and I was always a clown. I was a happy drunk. Whenever I got drunk, I always made a fool of myself and made people laugh. But it got me attention. I realized, through this program that's what got me the attention. And I, at a young age after my dad died, I was kind of the eldest boy, and my mother would let me drink in the house, and it got me in trouble. My first drunk, I passed out. I drank a Mickey of vodka, and they found me in the bathtub, passed out. And all of my drinking days, I got into, as the two other speakers shared, which they had a very good messages, congratulations, and it's an art hack for me to follow. But and it got me into lots of trouble. And every time I was in trouble with the law, it was related to alcohol. The penny didn't drop. I always blamed everybody. It was never Pete's fault. I always pointed the fingers at someone else. It was never me. I'll bring it to my last drunk, because my alcohol, I drank for 20 years. And my last drunk, I was blacking out all the time. And I had lost a lot. I had gone through a marriage and separation, divorce, had two kids. I thought I was a real good dad. I'd had my two children, my son and my daughter, on weekends. I woke up one morning and there was holes in the wall, and my 10-year-old son said that didn't know what happened, but I went into a rage and I started pounding the walls. I was in a blackout. You know, I thought I was going to kill someone or kill myself. So I had to do something. And that was in 1985. That was the last time I picked up a drink. And I didn't go to AA for about 2 months. I was white-knuckling it. I had difficulty, accepting that I was an alcoholic. I had been to AA at the recommendation of a judge, maybe about 10 years earlier. So I guess it was at a young age. I was probably 25 years old, and I had been involved in a hit-and-run accident, and the judge recommended I go to AA. And I went to an AA meeting back home in Ottawa, and I thought I was in Florida. Everybody had gray hair like I did. And I didn't relate. I felt I didn't belong, and I didn't stay. And then 10 years later, in 1985, the first 2 months, I was white-knuckling. And I had lost all faith, okay? I had been brought up Catholic, an altar boy. And after my dad died, I didn't believe in God. I didn't go to church. And so I had no faith. But for some reason, that 2 months after I'm into that I stopped drinking, I didn't get on my knees like they do say in AA, but for some reason I said, God help me. I want to drink, but I don't want to drink. And I was working at the time. I went to work. And back then in 1985, we didn't have the internet. So I went in the Yellow Pages. I looked up AA. And that was my first AA meeting. Okay, so my first AA meeting was not, when I got dry, which was a couple of months later. And I really liked what I saw when I went to AA. You know, I saw what some of the people had. People seemed smart. I thought it was... they were faking. You know, I couldn't. I said, it can't be. Some guys are, and people with 7 years of sobriety, I said, my God, how can they do that? You know, how could they stay sober? And, you know, I got sober in February, but my first meetings was in April or May. And I said, what am I going to do at Christmas? You know, what am I going to do at all the parties? And I said, how did you get through Christmas? You know, and I remember my sponsor was here. Larry was there, and he gave me his phone number. And then I go, you know what? Nobody asked me. And three guys gave me their phone number, but nobody asked me mine. And for someone like me, nobody dawned on it. I said, you know what? They're not going to bother me. They put the ball in my court. It was up to me to phone. And I liked that. And and then at the beginning, I had this little voice, and I'd go to meetings, and I'd say, I'm Pete, I'm an alcoholic, like I did this morning. And I had a little voice that would say, no, you're not. No, you're not. And I shared that with my sponsor, Larry, and he said, maybe you should get on your knees and ask God and your higher power to help you. I go, what? On my knees? Me on my knees? So, but you know what? I wanted the program so much that I think if Larry would have said, you got to eat a pound of shit, I think I would have eaten it. I really did. I wanted the program, and that's what I did. I did get on my knees, and I asked God, you know, I am an alcoholic, and I don't want to drink. And you know, to this day, never heard the voice. Now, is that faith? Well, I believe it is, And that's when I started connecting with my higher power, that I realized that there was somebody greater than Pete in this world. Like, you know what? I started to let go and let God. And things started to happen to me. And, you know, the opposite of faith is fear. And I was very fearful when I drank. You know, I was scared of everything. You know, what's going to happen to me? And I don't have that fear anymore. You know, so faith, it took away all of that fear. And I can give you some examples of no fear when I drank. And, you know, I always got in trouble. And I had no faith. And I was full of fear of everything, and every time, you know, I whatever I did stupid things, I'd always end up in trouble. I'd always get caught. If I lied, I got caught, you know, and on and on. And while in the program, the faith has given me a lot of opportunity to let go. And I have to give you a few examples. Like, you know, a few years ago, well, a few years, it's 2007, so 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, that's overwhelming to anybody. It still overwhelms me today. But so they removed one of my kidneys. And you know what? When I went for surgery, I'm in the pre-surgery, and the nurse comes over, and she says, "Are you okay? Are you okay? You look so calm." And I asked my higher power for help. And then the specialist came over, and he goes, "Are you okay, sir? Are you okay?" I said, "Listen. You're the surgeon. You're the specialist. You take care of what you got. You do what you got to do. I'll take care of the rest." And you know what? They went for surgery. He said, "We got it. We removed everything." And I said, "Thank God. To this day, I'm still here." You know? So. So, you know, I believe God takes care of me. He's been taking care of me for many years. And I come from a family of, there's been a lot of drinking, as I said earlier, and why did God choose me, you know? You know, we hear it in the rooms, you know, we're the chosen few. So why would I have been chosen over someone else? So I have to remember that. I thank my God every day. I pray. I thank Him every night before I go to bed, and every morning I do my daily reflection. And I talk to my God of my understanding to help me make it through the day. And, you know, it's been good. Other examples, you know, that I can tell you is that I have two children. And there was a while my kids were so-so at the beginning with me. I'm sober in the program maybe 5-6 years. And my son has a sort of a falling out, or all of a sudden he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. He hangs up the phone on me. I was devastated. I got on my knees. I asked God for help. And then I phoned a friend in AA. And I said, "What do I do with this?" And, you know, so I don't have to do it alone anymore. You know, instead of blaming and analyzing. And, you know, this person calmed me down and helped me deal with it. You know? So, you know, and as much as that was overwhelming back then, if I compare and I fast forward to today, just a couple of weeks ago, my son phones me and he says, he got a new job and it's like a dream job for him. And he says, "You know, Dad, you've always been there for me. You've always been such an example." Here's my son that wouldn't talk to me. And now, like, you know, is that, God intervention? Yeah, it's certainly me. It's not me. It's God that made me do the right things to be an example to my kids. And I couldn't have been an example to my kids if I was still drinking, you know. So today the miracle of AA is come through me. I have to deal with life on life's terms all the time, but when I turn it over to my higher power, good things happen, you know. And I must have 9 lives, because last fall, you know, I thought I had beat this cancer, and I have beaten the cancer. I'm cancer-free. Well, my dad, I said at a young age, my dad died. He died of a heart attack. Well, now I got heart condition. I go to the hospital, and I had a heart attack. Now, as they're doing an angiogram on me, I had a heart attack. So talk about a higher power. The best place to have a heart attack is when there was 2 cardiologists taking care of me. So God said, you're not ready to go upstairs and have a party yet. I got to stay down here. He's still got plans for me, I guess, down here. So, and you know, today I feel good. My health is great. People say, "Geez, you don't look..." No, I feel good. I'm back to do all my regular activities. But I thank God. And I think I'm like a cat. I must have 9 lives. And God's giving me an opportunity to do the things I want to do in life. Service. I got to talk a bit about service. Service is, you know, when I was an honor, when I was contacted by General Service to be part of this, and I usually don't refuse service work in AA. So I was blessed. I said, "Why me?" I said, "Well, why not me?" So here I am today, you know, sharing a bit of my story with you people. And I've done a lot of service work, and it's wonderful, and that's one way of giving back to what I was given so freely, you know. And it didn't cost me a penny. All it cost me is all the miserable years that I've invested in the past while I was drinking. And today, you know, when often I get up in the morning and I have a choice, you know, like, misery is optional, for those of you who didn't know that, you know. And every day I get up, I have a choice to be miserable or be happy. And I choose to be happy. So, you know, and God says, "Okay, you want to be happy? Well, here are the chores you got to do today." Sometimes it's not things I like to do, but I got to do them, you know. But that's what it is today. And I find, too, in the program, helping others, you know, sponsoring or doing things with other alcoholics, it takes away from the self-centeredness of Pete or my problems. And while I'm helping others, I'm not thinking or dwelling on my problems, whatever big or minor they may be. So the AA way of life is a wonderful way of life. I never thought that I could see this. You know, when some of you, when you go to meetings, they talk about the promises. I mean, the promises happened for me over and over again, you know. I've been through two marriages, and now my girlfriend is here. She's a godsend to me. I mean, we're so compatible. We got so many things, you know, in common that we do. And God gave me, you know, I thought I'd be alone for the rest of my life. And I meet this woman who's compatible. She's got six grandchildren. I got four grandchildren, so it makes a party of 10, you know. That's the way it goes. And you know, life's good. And, you know, God gave me another chance. Again, the higher power, you know. My first granddaughter is today 19 years old. And so, you know, she's like an adult, and I lost my little girl, you know, the pappy, grandpa with the girl. And my girlfriend has a granddaughter that, when I first met her, she was a baby. Now she's 3 years old, and she's like, God gave me another chance to spoil a little girl. What a wonderful, you know, that's what, what else can you ask for? And so, I'm to me, gratitude is very important. This is not a topic on gratitude, but I'd like to be very grateful, to remind myself to be grateful every day. And it, to me, that's part of my program, is that I have to realize all the good things that God gave me and gave me all these opportunities. And if I don't express gratitude, then I in my opinion, I'm not practicing my program. So I have to be very grateful. I haven't been able to do this all alone. My sponsor was here, Larry. A lot of the people from my home group are here, and they helped me through my journey. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I really appreciate AA in itself. I find today I wouldn't, you know, I often share at my meeting at meetings that if I had to start my life all over again, I wouldn't change a thing if it got me to where I am today. So, you know, that's the beauty of AA. So in closing, I'd just like to say that I thank everybody that's here. I thank the two, Christina and Char, for a wonderful message. And thank you for listening to me. It's been a wonderful opportunity to share a bit about faith in action. And trust me, I do believe in, I have a higher power, and we all do it through this program. Thank you very much.